two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day as we get together for another Saturday edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. Always a pleasure to get together with you here, particularly on a weekend. If you love skiing or playing in the snow in Utah, it's already started. By the time this interview or by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, the snow will have started to fall. Could be 1 to 3 inches in the valleys, a foot or more in the mountains. We'll keep our fingers crossed that that is the case. But we're guessing right now because, as always, we're recording this program on Thursday just to give a little truth in advertising. Tim Hughes inside the studios of Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City. Navidomskis is actually making his way back from Park City where you've been for, I don't know, a week now or something?
Something.
You've lost track.
Yeah, well, I want to anyway. I've got 23 ski days in on my legs already this year.
Yeah, I know you do. And I don't know how you do it day after day after day. I can do two back-to-back, and then I need a day off.
Well, there are worse things to try to do.
Well, that's true, too. Down the other end of the state, Bob Grove from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark is with us. Hey, Bob.
Howdy.
Oh, it's howdy now. It was an English accent when I first connected with you this morning.
Hello.
Hello. How are things in your neck of the woods this week?
Well, it's we're going to get that storm moving through here. In fact, I think it's coming up from the southwest and moving north. And so we're supposed to get quite a bit of snow in our mountains down south, which is very much needed. Bryan Head, Eagle Point both need the snow. And so we're excited about the prospects of this week.
Yeah, I think there's a real buzz going on here, certainly with people that love to ski, because it was getting a little sketchy on some of our favorite runs at various resorts. And guys, it's time for another weekly episode of what we like to call Where is Russ? We've played along for the past couple of weeks. It's been fairly unknown. We last reported that he was headed to Mississippi. Then I got an email or a text that he was in Florida. So where is Russ today? Russ, people have been worried about you.
You know, I was here last week, but I guess wires got crossed and I didn't get the notice.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what day it was.
We record this show every Thursday.
Yeah.
Bob was here. Navi was here.
It's all right. It's all right. Everybody's going to be okay. Was
Florida part of the original plans, or you just got to Mississippi and decided to keep driving?
Actually, the part of the original plan was also Big Bend National Park, but we decided we bit off too much, and we skipped that because we wanted to. Every time we go to Mississippi, which we go one or two times a year, I tell my buddy in Florida, we're going to stop by this year, and I never do it because it's a long ways.
Well, and you started to tell us before we jumped in to record the program here, and Navi was not on with us yet, that your buddy actually has what sounds like could be a nice little fishing spot right out his backyard.
Oh, really nice. He's got a little boat parked out there. And this is my buddy Jeff Levitt that we've had call into us a few times.
Right,
post-hurricane and that kind of stuff. But Yeah, it's beautiful there. I kind of like it. I would miss the, whoops, lost my headset. I'm sorry. I got all excited, waving my arms and everything.
That's all right.
So anyway, it's a great place, beautiful home there that survived Hurricane Michael was the big one that rolled through there. And he lost all his pine trees.
Wow.
It's hard to believe that you lose your pine trees. But yeah. He lost all but about three during that hurricane. They all went down. They were amazed. They were there during the hurricane in their home.
Well,
and they could hear those trees go. But let me go. I digress here.
Yes, you do.
Let me get back on track.
Okay.
There is such a thing.
Can we do that over here while you're doing that?
What?
It's just nice to know you came back with the same technology. What would I call it? Technical lack of technical skills.
Did I miss part of this conversation?
No, nope, just sit tight, Russ. Nice to have you back.
Okay.
I did want to talk about a couple of things that happened this week and give you a little heads up on what's coming up on the show. By the way, this Jeopardy theme has been getting a lot of play lately because of Alex Trebek's passing, of course.
Yeah.
But I found out on YouTube that this is a link to a 10-hour loop of this song. So I thought just for fun over the next 2 hours, we'll just let it roll behind us and we'll dip in from time to time on the Jeopardy theme for this week's show. But it is nice to have the group back together. And speaking of back together, Bob, I guess Mark's back from Mexico, too?
He is. He got back a few days ago, and boy, he had a great time. He had to actually cut his trip short. He was planning on going to Mexico City and spending some time in the ruins there where the pyramids are. But I'll let him explain that when he's on later about the reason he wasn't able to. He had to cut his trip short.
Yeah. All right. We'll look forward
something
to
about
that.
Jail or?
No. Oh, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Navadovskis, give us a quick update on your Park City experiences. We spent a couple of days with you up there in Park City over the weekend, but some of those runs, if you get, make a wrong turn, we're getting a little scary as far as snow cover.
Well, actually, they got 4 inches Tuesday mornings. So it was delightful. The sun was shining and the runs were really good, and they held up the next day, too. But they're back to where they were. In fact, all the southern-facing sides off Pioneer and stuff, you can see rocks and dirt. So they definitely need this snowstorm that's supposed to hit us this weekend.
Yeah. Mm. That snow's also going to help with an event that's coming up on the 30th, and we'll talk with Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge about it ahead. But it's the annual ride with the Utah Snowmobile Association that is going to be taking place at Bear River Lodge. And we'll let Roger explain when he joins us at the top of the next hour. But when I had my short conversation with him, he said he's just unsure how many people might be there. Could be a few, could be a bunch. But if we get new snow, my guess is they'll have a bunch up there on the 30th of the month. And we'll tell you about how you can get involved with that. Speaking of snow, snow day at 7:35, Sarah Huey will join us from the Solitude Ski Resort. We'll get a refresher on what kind of a season it's been there. And she has actively been involved with a snow fire dance, as I understand it, which many of the ski resorts have been involved with to try and get Mother Nature to cooperate. And then, Bob, you connected us with Teton Springs Lodge. Is that Victor, Idaho?
Yeah. Yeah, Victor, Idaho, up in Teton. What is it? Gosh, I'm having a senior moment here. Teton. Yeah, up in where Victor, Driggs, Tetonia, whole stretch there on the western slopes of the Tetons.
Gorgeous area.
Yeah. Navi, you know this area too?
Oh, very well. I mean, there's great fishing in the summer. Of course, I like skiing tar geese, so I'm up quite a bit. Love it. Swan Valley, all that river right in there, the Teton, it's epic.
Navadovskis will also help us with our fish bite segment coming up, and I got an email a couple of days ago. Let me see if I can find it. We'll touch on this, but Some of the best places to ice fish in Utah. That came from the Division of Wildlife Resources. So as soon as I find it, we'll be able to share that with you. And a lot of other things on our news of the week, all coming up in just a minute. So I'm going to tell you to stand down, gentlemen. Give us a minute. We'll come back in just a minute with some of that news of the week. By the way, that interview with Jeff Naylor at Teton Springs Lodge will happen right after we get you a news update on the half hour. That's at 6:35 this morning. Just checking in on the 10-hour loop of the Jeopardy theme. I'm not sure what you would do with a 10-hour loop of this at home.
Just let it run all day.
But we'll just, yeah, drive me crazy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors Radio in just a minute. Thanks for joining us this morning.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Time for a little news of the week. Everybody still connected here. Hopefully, if technology is holding, Navidovskis on the road making his way back from Park City. Russ is back in the Sugar House compound and down in St. George, or sorry, L.A. Virkin. Is Bob Grove from Road Tripping. Bob, you were just saying you got notified that we've been friends now for how many years? 12?
12 years on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's that friendiversary notice.
My wife actually got one yesterday, and so I must have logged on for the first time on Facebook 12 years ago. But I was joking with her because she was talking about what a great life she's had with her hubby. And I said, funny thing is, we've been married 24. We've only been friends 12. I said, there's a lesson to be learned here for all of us, I think. You need to survive some of those down times. Anyway, friends on Facebook. Hey, a couple of things, and I'm curious to get you guys' input on this. The announcement that 53 acres of private property in southwestern Utah, and this is down in your part of the state, Bob, vital habitat for the Mojave Desert tortoise were acquired recently through a combined effort of several agencies and organizations. How do you feel about land being gobbled up to protect the tortoises?
I live right in the middle of it all here in Hurricane Valley. We have the Red Cliffs National Conservation Area that runs into the valley and all throughout on the northwestern side of St. George into Snow Canyon area. Are you really asking me this question?
Yeah. I'm curious what the feeling of people that may be affected by it have down there, honestly.
Well, it's a real mixed crowd. There's many, they're building right now a beltway that goes around St. George from the Southern Parkway that comes through Hurricane and then eventually loops around back into St. George. That's coming into some of that desert preserve. And so there's been a lot of controversy about that. But this was a bill that I think that had been worked on for some time. I think it was Chris Stewart that mentioned it on Facebook about coming through. But it's a mixed feeling. There's some that are a little bit concerned about losing some of their public access with off-roading and some of the trails. But I don't think it's really going into any area of those areas that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Navi, I hike down I hike down by the Virgin River quite often in an area called Confluence Park. And there's actually a habitat there for the Mojave Desert tortoise for rehabilitation. And it's got razor wire around it. I mean, it's fenced off with razor wire.
They're in rehab. They don't want them to speak out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the numbers, though. An estimated 5 to 9 adult desert tortoises per square mile, roughly a little over 2,000, found in the Red Cliffs Desert Reserve on average. Navi, from a conservation standpoint, this goes back to our discussions about the razorback suckers. Some people can't see the sense of saving them, but it's part of our ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly. We go the way they go. So it's like everything with free speech. You protect somebody else's, yours gets protected. So there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to shell shock here with this tortoise. But, you know, I think we can coexist as long as we're paying attention.
Shell shock. I got
shell shocked.
That was good.
A little slow.
Yeah.
Russell? No, I just want to say, you know, if they put like an 8-foot flag on the top of a tortoise, nobody would run over.
You mean like that orange thing on your bicycle?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There's other ways to do it.
Everybody will steer clear of them. Speaking of conservation and spreading the wealth around when it comes to quail in Utah, work continues to establish a quail population on the Pilot Mountains in western Box Elder County. They released about 55 of them on a mountain range there. 64 were released in 2020, and they'll keep releasing the birds as they become available in hopes of building a nice population of them there in that part of the state. And just a quick note, too, about the announcement of some international dark sky status. 3 more Utah parks have landed that designation. And I've wondered, really, why that is such a big thing. Because I think you need places where you can get away and not have this light pollution that we talk about.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. It really is. And we have more of those in Utah than anywhere else in the world.
Yep. Navi, jump in here.
Well, it's a big deal because it's outer space. But, yes, if you've ever seen it, it's epic. You know, I teach young people, and when I bring them to places that they've never seen, and I'm not making this up, they have never seen the stars. Like, we grew up looking at the stars. They haven't seen them. And so when they get to places like that where you can see them all, it's overwhelming. It's emotional. It's something that we've totally forgot about because we've lit up our space.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say that's so true, Navi, because, you know, I bring people on tours from all over. And they're mostly coming from urban areas where there's high population density and they have lots of light pollution. They don't see the stars. But when they come here and we go into Bryce Canyon and Capitol Reef and these places and you see the Milky Way just jumping out at you, I mean, you feel like you can reach up and grab it. That just blows them away.
Yeah. I think I've shared on several occasions my experience with a young man that I had a chance to work with in the 2008 Beijing Olympics, Zhong Lin, who had made his way to the United States after the Olympics were over to do some teaching on the East Coast, but he'd never been out to some place like Bryce Canyon and had never seen the stars coming from Beijing, China. So I took him out there one night, and he was just awestruck by it. And they make the point, the International Dark Sky Parks are designation by the International Dark Sky Association, but they argue that the harms of not preserving a night sky went beyond stargazing. They argue preserving the night sky has benefits for human and wildlife wildlife health and also safety and cost as well. So to have 3 more of our Utah parks designated as international dark sky status, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
It really
fantastic.
Is.
All right, guys, we'll take another break. Coming up on the other side of a news update in just a minute, Jeff Naylor will join us from Teton Springs Lodge, another one of the great people that Bob Grove works with from time to time, and will familiarize you and us, quite frankly, with more of what they have to offer. I also understand there's a spa involved. As the Jeopardy loop continues to roll, we'll take another break and be back with more of KSL Outdoors Radio in just a minute.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.